This is Jim Inkster, and thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. We continue with Ace Atkins, one of the fine writers in America, the author of 24 books, including 9 Quinn Colson novels, the first two of which, The Ranger and The Lost Ones, were nominated for the Edgar Award for Best Novel. Ace Atkins is a fascinating man, the author of 7 New York Times best-selling novels, and some of us remember him back in the days when he was playing football for Auburn University. In the year of, I think, 1993 it was, the War Eagles came to town, beat LSU 34-10, and that was an undefeated season for Ace Atkins and Auburn. I'm sure you remember that quite well.
I do. Every year goes on, it's harder and harder to recall it. But, yes, it was a good year. We had a good time.
And an Auburn guy moves to Oxford, Mississippi. How did that happen?
Yeah, it was never intentional. I came here. I've been in the newsroom for a while in Florida, and I worked in a paper, the Tampa Tribune, as a crime reporter. And I was invited to come up here and teach for a semester to teach a journalism class. And so I moved here, and it's a beautiful town. It's got a lot of great history, connections with William Faulkner and so many great writers. And it's a wonderful writer's community, and I ended up buying a place and staying, and now it's 20 years later. So it's a good town to be in, although my heart is always still with Auburn. I certainly have enjoyed being here.
You may run into John Grisham every now and then.
Well, he doesn't live here anymore. He moved to Virginia, and so he hasn't been here for about 20 years. But he does come to town from time to time, and he's a very nice man. He's very generous to writers, a really, really good guy.
Well, as I mentioned, you played at Auburn, and the War Eagles went undefeated in 1993. Ace is still a relatively young man, not quite 50 years old, almost there. But you're featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And how did that experience cultivate your writing? I'm sure it affected you in some way, and I would think positively, but tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, you know, I never thought really those worlds had anything to do with one another. I really didn't. I think if you'd asked me this, you know, 20, 25 years ago, I might have kind of, you know, just downplayed the whole idea that, you know, football and writing have any connection whatsoever. They're two different things. But I do think the one thing that I got out of football is certainly, you know, hopefully a pretty good work ethic, and also just the fact that you work at something, and hopefully you get better at it. And I look at writing as that kind of thing. I think it's something you have to work at every day. It's something you have to, you know, study. You have to, you know, critique yourself. You always try to get better. You can't really get complacent. So I think there were things that I took from that experience that were very positive. And it's, you know, with writing, there are days that are wonderful. I think people have the idea that, you know, as a writer, that I'm sitting around and, you know, drinking coffee or a martini or something like that and hitting the keys and everything is just wonderful, like it's this great thing. But it's a tough job. I mean, there are days that it does not come out very smoothly. There's sometimes if you write a chapter that you got to just tear up and start over again. And I think that football training probably was pretty helpful to that.
I don't think there's any question. And LSU produced John Ed Bradley, who's fine.
Of course, yeah. Wonderful, wonderful writer, yeah.
Yes, indeed. And I think if John Ed were here, he would acknowledge that writing is every bit as difficult as those two-a-days on the football field.
We actually got to hang out with John Ed some years ago, and we had that very same discussion, and the fact that probably as younger people, we might have kind of laughed off that idea that those things were connected. But now as older writers and more veteran writers, we certainly agree with that.
Well, Quinn Colson continues in Ace Atkins' latest work, The Shameless, and it is set in Mississippi, a place you've come to know very well. Tell us the backdrop to The Shameless.
Well, this is the 9th book with Quinn Colson, and one of the things I wanted to do with writing a series is I was never interested in just writing about, you know, a superhero with a gun that was taking on, you know, a different variety of adventures, that kind of thing. I think if people come to these books with that expectation, they're going to be disappointed. Really, what I wanted to write is, you know, I do enjoy writing about, you know, criminal activities and unsavory characters. I mean, that comes from my days as a newspaper reporter covering the crime beat. But, you know, I really wanted to write about rich characters. I wanted to write about family. I wanted to write about the history of a county. And what I wanted to do is essentially take a county, a fictional county in North Mississippi, and tell the whole story about it and have it evolve, have it change, have people, you know, they get older, some people die, people come into the county, things change, and I think that's what is exciting for me about writing about Tippahaw County. And so it's really, you know, Quinn Colson is a character in the book. He's certainly one of the major characters, but he's not the only character, and he certainly doesn't have the, you know, he's not the, really even the main character. He's just one of the pivotal people that's within Tippahaw County. But I think it's really about, you know, a place and a time. It's about very Southern characters, and very, I think right now with the Shameless, I think it's a very much a reflection on what's going on down South, and how things that are from the past or things that, you know, I think that I remember thinking as a teenager growing up in Alabama that were, you know, history pieces are now coming back around, and things that I thought were long gone, as they talked about racism and hypocrisy and that kind of thing, have come back to rear their ugly heads. And I think we have to be vigilant. I think that's what these hero books are all about, is hopefully showing, you know, the right thing to do and the you know, true path of morality.
Well, it's a story that embraces a lot of contemporary thoughts, and crime is a big, big attraction on podcasts. And you have producers of a podcast called Thin Air, not Fresh Air, Thin Air, Tashi Coleman, right, and Jessica Torres. They are big parts of this story.
They are. I really have enjoyed, you know, people have always talked about, you know, what was going to come about after the death of the newspaper, you know, what was going to come in to fill that void. And, you know, I always said it was going to be something that we wouldn't expect. It was going to be something very different. And I am a big fan of listening to podcasts, and particularly true crime podcasts. And as a former crime reporter, I have to say some of them vary very wildly in quality. I mean, some of them are outstanding, and some of them are just god-awful. And it really depends on the skill level of the reporter that's involved. There's one that really struck me called In the Dark. And it was season two that actually was a series that they did here in Winona, Mississippi, which is about 25, 30 miles away from Oxford. And they took on the case of a man named Curtis Flowers, who had been wrongly accused of murder and is on death row. And the amount of professionalism, skill that these women put into looking into the Flowers case just impressed me and overwhelmed me so much. I mean, I ended up meeting these women that put together this podcast. I was so impressed with it. And that really was the formation of wanting to include podcasters in this current story in Tippahaw County. And of course, from a storytelling point, it allows me to show this county that I've written about in 9 books now from a different point of view and from an outsider's point of view. And that was equally as important.
There's another remarkable character, Fanny Hathcock, you describe as a beautiful, ruthless, red-headed madam.
There are these places, I know we have them in Louisiana too, that, you know, you pass on the highway and you see these little dens of iniquity off behind a gas station or somewhere where there are these gas station or truck stop strip clubs, and you kind of wonder what is going on in these places, you know, what is really happening. And of course, you know, none of it's good, and very little of it is legal. And so she has operating one of these businesses in North Mississippi, a cash only business, and you can imagine the amount of legal activity that runs through her truck stop. And there are people that are very much like Fanny Hathcock, and there's certainly worlds like that that exist in the Deep South, in the pockets of the Deep South. And she's a very fun character to write. I have a lot of fun with her.
And there is also an African-American truck driver, a fellow Army veteran. Quinn, of course, is a veteran. Boom Kimbrough. Tell us about Boom.
Yeah, Boom is really what I'd call one of the key forces in my books, from the original book from the Ranger from almost 10 years ago. And Boom is Quinn's best friend, and he and Quinn grew up together. They're very much like a lot of guys that we know in Louisiana and Mississippi that grew up hunting and fishing and living the rural lifestyle, and then after high school kind of went their separate ways. Boom went into the National Guard, and Quinn went and became an Army Ranger. And when Quinn comes home, Boom has been home for about a year, and he had a different experience than Quinn. You know, Quinn had a somewhat positive experience with his things that he did in Afghanistan. I mean, he kind of comes home as, fully intact, both mentally and physically. And, Boom does not come intact either way when he comes home. He's He's got PTSD. He's lost a limb. He's really trying to find his way. And throughout the books, Boom kind of comes in and out of his struggle with this. And after the events of the last book, he's really on a decline in the new story. And it's really about him trying to find, grip on getting his life back together and his struggles and what's happening in his world. And, you know, this is how these books go. You know, it's really almost a, evolution of these characters from each one, each book, to see how they grow and how they change, how they're dealing with adversity. But Boom is a very, very important part of this whole world.
Well, congratulations on another remarkable work, part of the Quinn Colson series. Ace Atkins is back in a huge way with The Shameless. It's been a pleasure, and let's do it again. Keep going, Ace Atkins.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.